Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. This is Doug Fain. Well, this morning on this program, we're going to talk to Ronnie Briner. Ronnie's parents, Joe and Nancy Briner, ran a store in Sufferwell for many years. We're going to talk all about the Sufferwell community, the Briners and their lives, and what it meant to us here in our county. We'll be right back with Ronnie right after this word from Sutherland Chevrolet.
Neighbor, there's nothing that makes me madder than buying something today and finding a lower price tomorrow. That's why I only buy tires at Sutherland Chevrolet in Nicholasville. They have the price match guarantee. If you purchase any brand name tires from Sutherland and you see that brand available somewhere else for a cheaper price in the next 30 days, they'll refund you the difference. That's just one of the honest and ethical business practices you'll find at Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville. A different kind of automobile dealership.
Well, good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. We are proud that you are here with us on Jess FM this morning. Today we're going to talk about a community in our county that is very well known called Sufferwell. There has been a store there that a lot of people identify with Sufferwell. And it's been owned by a couple of different people. But the last people that owned it, their name was Joe and Nancy Briner. We have their son with us today, Ronnie. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning, Doug. How are you today?
Doing good and glad you are here. Wanted to get with you to talk mainly about your parents because so many people in this community, people who've lived here a while, remember Joe and Nancy Briner. Of course, Nancy just died last year, and Joe has been gone since when?
1984. Christmas Eve, 1984.
But a lot of people remember him. Of course, I remember him well because he was my bus driver many years ago. But we want to talk about them and kind of how they came to be and Sufferwell and that kind of thing. First off, let's talk about how they actually came to this world. Tell us a little background about where Joe was born, where your mom was born, and how they even came to meet.
Well, they were both born local, and they actually met at school. I have some pictures of them at the Sufferwell School as a class, the school picture actually, and they're actually both in the same picture. So yeah. They met at school. I remember Mom used to tell me that Dad had a motorcycle and they would ride motorcycles. Mm-hmm. They always enjoyed just going and riding.
High school sweethearts, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe even more like childhood sweethearts.
Well, they knew each other. I'm not sure exactly when the attraction took place.
Well, evidently it was when he was 16 for sure. Yeah. At least that much. So when were they married?
July of 1940.
Now, somewhere after that took place, kids started coming along. So to start this program, let's talk about the whole family. Tell us about your siblings.
Jim, he's the oldest. Mm-hmm. He was kind of the worker of the three of us, I guess. He's worked hard all of his life.
Yeah.
And Mike came along. He's my older brother. The middle brother, actually. Mm-hmm. We all three grew up in Sufferwell.
Yeah.
It was a great, great place to grow up in.
Did you all go to the Sufferwell school there?
Jim, my oldest brother, did for a few years, and then we all went to Nicholasville Elementary.
Okay.
That was back actually when all 12 grades were in one building there to Nicholasville, what's now the Nicholasville Elementary School. Mm-hmm. But the high school was on the top floor at that time. I know that.
Now, are all three of you still here?
I live in Nicholasville. Mm-hmm. My brother, Jim, the oldest, lives in Wilmore. Mm-hmm. And my brother, the middle brother, Mike, lives over near Harrington Lake.
Okay. You know, growing up in a community like that, especially in those times, pretty much everybody knew everybody.
Oh, yes.
That was, you had more than two parents. You had a bunch of parents because they all knew you and they were watching for you, I would say.
Especially at the store, I think that was a community center, more or less.
Yeah. How did that all come about? How did it be that your dad ended up with that store?
My mom's father owned it, and after my parents were married, they worked at the store and actually just bought my grandfather out in later years and ran the store, you know, themselves.
Yeah. That at one time was known as the Jot 'em Down store. Now, wasn't that from an old-time radio show. Did not Lum and Abner?
Yeah.
Was that the Jot 'em Down store?
I think that's what where they got the name.
Yeah.
I still hear of a lot of old tales where everybody says Jot 'em Down store, so it must have been a popular name back in maybe the 40s or at that time.
But I guess at the end, and what most people know about, it's the Trading Post.
The Trading Post, right.
Now, that was your typical all-around country grocery store because everything was purchased there from gas, I guess, to dry goods.
Right. As a matter of fact, when my mom auctioned off all of the store goods when she closed the store, we had overboots, overshoes, and shirts and pants, and it was just a wide range of different articles. I mean, like you say, it was everything. They had everything.
Right.
They had fishing equipment, and I actually had coal oil there also that they sold.
Now, during that time, it's not like it is now. When you go to Sufferwell now, it doesn't seem like you're really out in the country because of the way the county has grown. But back then, coming to town was a big trip, so they had to carry all that kind of stuff.
Right. It was more of a convenience store or a mainstay store, actually, for the community. I remember that they would run a lot of credit accounts. A lot of their business was on credit, and when the tobacco crops sold, or you know, when the income for the farmer came in at a yearly income, they would come in and pay their store bill.
Yeah,
it wasn't anything like today. I mean, I remember I used to wait on the customers at the store too some, and when they charged, we had a notebook that we write it down in, and each day. My dad would, tally up and put in each account what the person got on a yearly basis. Some of them would be, paying on a yearly basis for their groceries for the year.
Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I guess it explains to me why your dad wasn't just a store owner. I mean, he did other things, and I would assume that part of the reason is because when you're a store owner carrying accounts, you got to make your money too.
Right.
So tell us about some of the other things that Joe Briner was involved in.
Like you say, he drove the bus for years, and he truly loved that job. Mm-hmm. He loved the kids, and I would remember on Christmas, he would decorate the inside of the bus, and he would always get candy bars from the store.
I remember that very well. That I do remember.
He would give out candy bars from the store, which always made me a little bit jealous. But anyway, he truly did love the bus driving. He also worked on the family farm, and he was a substitute rural route mail carrier.
Right.
So he had different jobs, like you say, to keep everything going while the charge accounts were.
Right.
It wasn't like we are now with charge credit cards. You pay once a month. Well, some of them did, but, a lot of them didn't have any income until the crops came in.
Right. Was he a serviceman?
Yes.
And
in Korea.
He was in Korea.
Right.
And I guess that would have been back, what was that, mid-40s, somewhere after World War II, I guess.
Yeah.
He died in 1984, and I know a sad time for you all. Joe was just an honestly, genuinely nice guy to me. I know he was to a lot of people.
But I thought he was.
yeah. He was very quiet, the best I remember. Now, the one thing I do remember, though, Ronnie, is that, and then, of course, back then, times were a whole lot different on a school bus than they are now. You didn't really get out of line with Joe Briner. Now, Joe wasn't mean by any way. But he was stern. People, I remember certain families that I rode the bus with, they kind of pushed his buttons a little bit, but he didn't let them get the best of him by any means.
No, they respected him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a big thing now. They did respect him, and they loved him at the same time, I think.
I think so, too.
And it was kind of the same way at home. We knew we were loved, but we knew we didn't get out of line. I mean, we knew right from wrong.
Your mother,
she was more of a pushover.
Oh, really? You could get away with things a little bit more than mom.
Some, but not a whole lot. We kind of knew where our limits were.
Yeah. Now, did she mainly just deal with the store?
Mainly with the store, yes. Of course, that's where she was born and raised in that location. So that was her whole life. It's just like Sufferwell Christian Church. When she was a baby, that's where she went. Mm-hmm. And that's where she went to church the rest of her life until she died at 92.
She was kind of, I think I've even heard it referred to as the mayor of Supperwell. Yeah. I've heard people talk about her that way.
I was thinking about that this morning. She was called the mayor of Supperwell.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, there's not any of the old timers there anymore.
Right.
Teeny Stennett still lives in the area.
Yeah.
I'm not calling Teeny an old timer, but she's
probably been there longer than most.
Yeah, than anybody else there at this time, yes. The thing that I remember about the store more than anything is the loafers that would come down.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, you know, the Hardee's or the McDonald's are today.
Right.
With all the older gentlemen sitting around talking. Well, the store used to be the main place for the area. Mm-hmm. And every day you could come in and, you know, if it wasn't crop time, tobacco housing, there would always be, you know, some of the guys there, and they would just sit around and talk. And those were times that you do remember.
Sure. Potbelly stove, I'd say.
In the middle.
Yeah.
Cold time, and you would sit around the stove and listen to all the yarns.
And I'm sure there was plenty. But you were talking about some of those loafers. And in this book that I have about Jessamine County history, there was some names written down. This is what it says. There were many regular customers who played checkers each day. Raymond and Tom Hare, mm-hmm. Lucian Foster, Dillard Willis, Willard Davis, Luther Ware, Jack Hager. Any of those names ring a bell to you?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And a faithful man, Bus Warfield, who had his favorite seat to watch the game.
One thing I remember, too, is it wasn't like Tom Hare. It was Mr. Tom.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Lucian. And you know, everybody had a Mr. in front of their name. And I never really knew where that came from. Mm-hmm. But that's when I grew up, that's what you called him, Mr. Yeah. Tom or Mr. Dillard. And, you know, I thought, you know, that's a term of endearment or respect or whatever it is. But one thing, you know, that's one thing I remember. And I remember most of those people they'd come down. Jack, I remember Jack and Mr. Tom. Mm-hmm. They were old timers, and I remember Mr. Tom used to have a Gladstone cigar in his mouth, and it'd stick out of his mouth, never would light it.
He just chewed on it.
It always amazed me. He never would light it up, but he would just chew on it all day long.
And I'm sure that a lot of the stories you heard, probably half of them weren't true.
Probably, and I wish I remembered more of them too.
yeah. That's, you know, that I think that's the thing that people nowadays, I kind of remember those times. Stennett's Grocery was the prevalent mm-hmm. one where I grew up out in Union Mill. And I can remember as a boy when it was open, walking in and seeing the farmer sitting around like you're talking about. But, you know, most people now under 45 years old don't mm-hmm. have a clue as to what we're talking about and don't understand what it meant to have a community like that.
Right.
We were talking earlier about everybody knew everybody. If something bad happened, they were all there.
Right. It was kind of the social media of that era.
Yeah.
The country store was.
Yeah.
Because that's where all the news took place, the community news. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you wanted to know anything, you would go to the store and sit down and listen. And it's a time gone by. But I think it's a time that we dearly miss of the actual human interaction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not you're sitting at a screen, you know, texting somebody or on Facebook. And I think that's a lot of times that's what we're losing now.
And it's sad.
It is. It really is.
You know, some of the best memories that I have as a young boy, the Stennett's Grocery, and I wouldn't do this now, let alone let my kids do it. But getting off the bus, which your dad drove, and getting on my bicycle and riding over on Union Mill Road to the grocery store, which I wouldn't attempt at all now, to get a double cola. At the end there, they had this little machine that would heat up the ham and cheese sandwiches for mm-hmm. you, which we thought was high tech back then, four microwaves and all that. But and just seeing those guys sitting there on the porch and talking and just it's just something that you can't replicate now.
No.
There's just nothing about it.
I remember the loafers, they would be there. But when it was crop time, very few of them would come in.
Right.
But at lunchtime, there would be so many there. And my mom made sandwiches. And they would come in for her sandwiches and, you know, for the RC Cola and mm-hmm. the Moon Pie. And mm-hmm. Even to this day, I don't know how many times I've had people come up and say, boy, your mom made the best bologna sandwiches. And they remember, and a lot of them would drive out from Nicholasville to the store there to get her sandwiches.
Does the store still stand?
It still stands. Right now it's empty, but we've had, you know, other businesses in there, but they just, you know, it's Nicholasville is so close now, and it got to the point where, say, the Walmart could sell things cheaper than, you know, my mother could buy them at for her wholesale cost. And, you know, I don't know how many country stores we had in the county here, but, you know, I don't really know of any of the old-time country stores that are still open because they couldn't survive.
I don't either. And I just off the top of my head, I'm thinking of some of them, you know, from on that end of the county. You know, you had that one, you had the Montgomery down at Little Hickman, and you had the Stinnett's, and you, even like Hager's Grocery and places like that. You're right. I don't know that there is any of those. The closest that might kind of come to that, well, and I don't even know if it's a grocery store anymore. I started to say the one in Keene.
Well, that's I thought of that just now, and that's a country store, but it's not really.
It's not really a
country store. Yeah. I think the time is, you know, a time is gone.
It is.
It's a time for memory, and I just feel sad that, you know, they don't.
Your mom truly enjoyed that too, didn't she?
She loved it.
She did. That was her life.
As much as Dad loved bus driving, she loved that store.
Yeah.
It broke her heart when she had to leave it.
I bet it did.
But she got to the point where her medical, you know, condition wouldn't let her go on. It was a good time in our lives.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted to grow up anywhere else but Saltwell.
That's the way a lot of people feel about where they're from and where they live. Yeah. And that's good. There's always that place that you can attach yourself to that feels like home.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, I've asked this question of people before, I'll ask you. One word, how do you describe Joe Briner?
Honest. If it was one word, honest. He was a good father.
Yeah.
And, you know, I respected him. It wasn't something that I had to do. You know, it was just his manner of living that I really respected him.
Same question about your mom.
Outgoing.
Oh, yes, that is a good one.
Up until the time that she just could not go anywhere when she was at Council Oaks Assisted Living, I would still, when I worked at the post office, every Friday, we had our Friday date. We would go out for lunch. I'd go get her. And, you know, years ago, she would meet me somewhere, Long John's or wherever. But it got to the point where I had to go out and pick her up. And I was glad I had the freedom to do that because, you know, those days are gone too.
Sure.
And you do remember those. And, it you know, it was a good time in my life, even though we didn't get, you know, a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm.
She always looked forward to her Friday date when we would go out for lunch. And if you were anywhere you wanted to go, she was up for it. I mean, her and Louise Fain and Teeny Stinnett and Margaret Clay Johns, and anytime they could go somewhere, anybody would take them, or until they quit driving, they would always go out, you know, the two or three of them by themselves. She just loved to go.
She never stopped wanting to go either because I remember, as fate would have it, she was at Council Oaks in the room right next to my mother-in-law for a while. And I remember the day that she pulled me off and wanted to know how she could get her driver's license. She said, "You've got to get this done for me so that we," well, I knew that wasn't going to happen, but she didn't know that.
Yeah.
So she was even then thinking in her mind, we're going to go.
That reminded me of a story when she wanted me to take her to get her driver's license. So, we went down to the to the place, and she told me when we went in, she said, "Now, I don't want you to show this walker because I don't want them seeing me on a walker. If they see that, they might not let me get a license." So I thought that was funny. So when they took the picture, of course, you don't get that low anyway.
Right.
But she didn't want her walker anywhere around her because she just didn't want to take a chance of not getting them licensed. She was funny.
You know, these are good memories that we have, and it's good to remember the way that it used to be. And sadly, though, there will be a day when this kind of life will be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we try to preserve it when we can. But just to think about how times were much slower, and not that there weren't problems, because there were.
Oh, yeah.
It just didn't seem like there were as many, or maybe they weren't as magnified as they are today. But I appreciate the fact that that they were in our community and that I got to know them because they lent a lot to our county and especially to the Sufferwell area, and surely miss them. I know you do.
Oh, yes, every day.
Yeah. Yes.
There's always something you think about during the day, you know, it brings up, you know, well, we used to do this or we used to do that. Like I say, it was a good life in Sufferwell.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Thank you very much and appreciate you letting me come and speak.
Well, I want to take time to thank Ronnie for coming in and talking about his family and the way it used to be in the Sufferwell community. I hope you'll join me again on All Things Jessamine. We do it every Saturday morning at 11, and it's all right here for you on Jess FM 105.9.
Neighbor, I buy my cars and trucks at Sutherland Chevrolet right here in Nicholasville because I know who they are. They've been in business here since 1925, and they're always honest and ethical. This is a hometown dealership. No high-pressure sales tactics, no lot lizards, no sleazy come-ons. Just local people treating you the way they'd like to be treated when buying a car or truck. Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville. A different kind of automobile dealership.